Are you willing to see every good thing in your life as a gift from God, and anything that is not good as not coming from God? It's not just a question of what you see, because what you see will depend on how you see. What's the lens you look through?
Hey, you probably noticed from the date in the corner that this was filmed a while back, but it was so good we wanted to bring it back to your attention. Let us know what you think in the comments. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel or head over to becomenew.com if you want more content like this. Now back to John.
Today, the invitation is to have second thoughts about your circumstances and God and God's role in them. And the word for today is good. Just that word, good. We're being guided through this by Dallas Willard. I'm actually going to talk a bit from a book called Seeking God by Trevor Hudson. And Trevor is talking in this book about his journey to God and how he was helped by Ignatius and Dallas Willard. And he tells the story of a friend of his who was kind of at the end of his rope. He was very discouraged with his life, filled with doubts and uncertainty about God and God's goodness. And so some friends conspired to get him a little time with Dallas Willard. And he said it was kind of like the guys who lowered the man through the roof to get him to see Jesus. They knew he really needed help, and my friends knew I needed help. And so I agreed to go. Dallas greeted me warmly, asked to hear my story. I had come prepared with a long list of grievances against others, God, and myself. Mostly, though, against the uncaring nature of God. As I told my story about how I had hurt others and how God didn't seem to care, Dallas listened. Every now and then he would interject with grace-filled questions. As I was sharing one particularly painful story, he spoke words of such kindness, mercy, and grace with a kind of gentle authority where I seemed to hear the Spirit whisper, "Your sins are forgiven." Even now, it brings tears to my eyes as I write these words. And then he finishes with this. Our meeting concluded with a transforming blessing. Dallas had listened patiently to my rantings against the God who ignores and who favors discriminately. He asked if I might do one thing when we parted. He said something like, "Are you willing to see everything that is good as being a gift from God, and everything that is not good as not being from God?" We ask that one more time. Are you willing to see everything that is good as being a gift from God, and everything that is not good as not being from God? And Richard goes on to say that within 2 weeks, he had begun to significantly change, and that now, many years later, this remains the single greatest turning point of his life. How do I look at my life and my circumstances and God's presence and God's goodness in it? And we're going to come to real bedrock here. What is becoming increasingly clear to me, I think more so today than ever before, is the importance of viewing God as holy and nothing other than good. Because if that's not the case, how can I trust Him? How could I ever abandon my life to Him? And of course, I can't make myself see Him this way, but Dallas' question is the right one. Am I willing to? Am I willing to see every good thing that comes to me as God's gift and every not good thing as not coming from God? This, I think, was Job's great struggle in the story of Job after his second round of suffering. When Job's wife tells him to curse God and die, his response is, "Should we accept good from God and not," and then a word that's a bit difficult to translate, "not trouble," often is translated evil, "not bad things." Job is struggling now with, is God the kind of person who sends bad things into my life? I was talking to a real good friend of mine by email yesterday who's just gone through disappointments in his career and that struggle. How do I understand these things? And particularly, has God not been good to me? Now, this is an ancient issue for people. How do I frame the circumstances of my life? For the ancient Greeks, they believed in what were called the Fates, and these were three characters often personified as three women, Clotho, who the image that they would use for Fates was a thread. Clotho spun the thread, and then Lachesis measured the thread, and then Atropos, which means literally unturnable, unchanging, no appeals to this court, to this person, cut the thread. That's the end of your life. That's where you're done. And they were kind of carrying out an impersonal principle of the universe. Everybody was ruled by fate, and fate was blind. Fate did not care. And in many ways, in our day, that's essentially a kind of secular view of the universe. It unfolds the way that it will. Time and particles are in control. Doesn't matter what we want. There is nothing personal or meaningful about it. That's the lives that we live. We don't give the fates the same names that they did. The teaching of Jesus is fundamentally different, and the word is good. In the first chapter of Genesis, the story of creation, 8 times that word thunders, climaxed with, and it was very good. God made human beings very good. Paul says when he's writing to the church at Rome, for in all things, now that's without exception, God is working for the good of those who love him, were called according to Christ Jesus. When I was going through college, I had a philosophy teacher for several classes, Steve Evans, and Steve's particular area of expertise, the focus of his dissertation was on Søren Kierkegaard. And Kierkegaard is kind of a complex character. His writings can be very, very obscure. He's regarded as more or less the father of modern existentialism, in some ways kind of a tortured guy. His parents and 5 of his 6 siblings all died when he was quite young. He himself only lived to be 42. He had kind of a tortured romantic life where he fell in love, was engaged, but then for reasons that are a bit obscure, never married the woman that he loved deeply, was largely misunderstood, often ridiculed in his own day. Kierkegaard's favorite verse, he writes about this. If you think about his reputation and you were to wonder, what is his favorite verse? Because he was a very devoted Christian. His favorite verse was James 1:17. For every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of all lights, in whom there is not the slightest variation or shadow of change. This is his favorite verse. God is wholly good, and every good thing that comes into my life is a gift from him. James says in that same passage, nobody, if they're tempted, should say God is tempting me, because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone. God is wholly good. God is light. There is nothing, not the slightest thing that is bad about God, and there's no shadow of change, so there never has been, and there never will be. Now the question is today, are you willing to believe that? Are you willing to believe it? Kierkegaard writes that we have this great question, can I see if this gift is a good thing for God in my life, from God in my life? And he says, it's not just a question of what you see, because what you see will depend on how you see. What's the lens you look through? I just finished reading David Copperfield and the ultimate hero in that story, Uriah Heep, this guy who pretends to be humble but is filled with seething resentment and hatred, refuses to see good in anybody else. Copperfield and others want to bring good into his life, but he does not see it because he will not see it. Are you willing to see every good thing in your life as a gift from God and anything that is not good as not coming from God? Now, of course, part of this, Kierkegaard writes, involves the reality that often we don't know what is good for us. I go to a doctor and the doctor knows that a shot will be good for me, but it's going to be painful for me, so I don't want it, but it is still a good gift. The pain isn't good. If the doctor could give me the good of the medicine without the pain, a good gut doctor would do that. Parents know that if they just gave their kid the food that the kid always wanted to have, it would not be a good for that child. So I don't often know the good thing. In our house right here, yesterday three times. I thought I saw a mouse, and by the third time, it was quite clear that's what it was. It was a mouse. By the third time, we'd had friends over, had a good day, lots of great stuff going on, but that mouse went running past me. So I stood at the top of the staircase, and by now, the mouse was quite defiant. It just stood there on the bottom stair of the staircase looking at me. Like, old man, we both know if you come after me, you're not going to get me. So I took out my phone and called Nance. I couldn't find her anywhere. I thought if she was downstairs, maybe she could close the doors and we could trap the rodent. And she was gone. She was on a walk with Baxter. She came back in quite shortly. She didn't realize it, but she had left text messaging on. So Siri was recording her words and ended up recording what Nancy said when she was afraid that there might be a mouse right there. And it was transcribed, sent to me. It was the funniest thing I have ever read in my life. Both of us have said and tried to say or write funny things before. None of us have ever come close to this. It was a comic masterpiece, but I can never tell anybody else what it said. And we laughed until we cried. And the mouse was the occasion for this. We did not think that that mouse would be a good thing, but the greatest joy that we got all day, we would not have gotten if it were not for that mouse, which we will celebrate. We still want him out of the house. Baxter is useless for this. Don't tell us to get a cat, because we're not getting a cat. The point is, we don't know in this life what comes into our life that is going to be a source of joy or goodness. Here's the question for today. Are you willing to see every good thing? Every bite that you eat, every breath that you take, every bird song that you hear, every blue sky that you see, every piece of music, every smile on the face, every encouraging word from a friend, every bit that you read so that you can learn and grow, the good work that you, are you willing to see all of these as a gift from God? That's a gift, that's a gift, that's a gift. And that the bad that comes into your life is not from God, that there is nothing bad in God, that God is not evil, cannot be tempted by evil, but is working to redeem it. That is very foundational. Are you willing? Second thoughts today on the circumstances of your day and the goodness of our God.
Hey, if you enjoyed that video, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John Ortberg or Become New. You can also head to our website, becomenew.com, where we have a bunch more resources you might be interested in, like free downloads, books, and a library of videos for you to explore, learning how to grow spiritually one day at a time. If you've got a prayer request, you can text it to us at 855-888-0444, and you'll receive a written response from someone on our team who will pray for you. You can also text the word become to that same number to receive text alerts whenever we drop a new video. Glad that you're here, and we'll catch you next time.